Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. That was so fast regarding my introduction, Steve didn't have time to put his headphones on.
I wasn't even ready for the show. It was so fast.
Steve, what does that L thing mean on that headphone? That's left behind?
And it's for Lent.
That's your pre-trib headphones. It's Lent. Steve, today we're going to talk frankly and candidly. We don't want to hold anything back. So often we hold our cards near us, and we don't want to do that in No Compromise anymore.
No restraint.
It's the angry darkness.
Okay.
Yes.
Out of the chasm of our anger.
Here is our plea today. Send us money.
Everywhere you go on the NoCo side, there's a button, donate now.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, Steve. I don't mind there being a donut button, send our donuts.
Especially
now.
If it's Dunkin'.
I'm so tired today. A donate button, maybe under FAQs or something, right? Someone wants to dig around and try to find out how to send money to a ministry. Okay. That it's on the site, fine, even though you can't find one on No Compromise site because there's nothing on there because it's been hacked. But even if it wasn't hacked, we didn't have one on there. So, but what about you go to the front page of a ministry and you see sermons and then you see right next to it, donate? That just rubs me the wrong way. Why don't you hide your donate button and let people search around so they don't think that donate is as important as sermons.
I guess I should change our site then, because I just had Josh. He was supposed to go in there, and everywhere you move your cursor, there's a donate button.
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
Well, when people have the donate button like at the top center, there's a new mouse device that people, I think Google or Bing maybe, figured out how to design this.
It's got to be
so
Bing.
Wherever the mouse is on the page, the front page, if you let go of your mouse, it slowly moves its way like a Ouija board up to the donate button. What would George Mueller think about this? What would S. Lewis Johnson think about this? Donate, donate, donate,
That's
donate.
What George Mueller did all the time. He was on the radio and TV, you know, begging for money.
Yeah, I think with all those orphans and with all that milk cart that got broken down, it's all related to asking people for money. How about let's just send out some prayer supports or something like that, prayer support letters.
A.K.A. beg letters.
I think Jonah maybe was used of God in a certain way. It was a pretty cheap evangelistic outreach as well, 120,000 people, maybe more.
What was his conference fee for that?
Yeah, one guy walking all around the city 3 days.
I think he should have probably, you know, up front asked for 3-4K.
Now, normally if you get 120,000 people responding to your message and God relents in his judgment, I think you write home and you talk about how you need to have the whole place canvassed, you need to have a lot of discipleship stuff set up, and you need to have a matrix of money from your supporters because God has really used you in his ministry for 120,000 people.
Yeah, and then, you know, Time Magazine comes along and does an interview with you, and you talk about how many millions have been saved under your ministry. Isn't that what you do?
It's interesting that Luis Palau goes to cities years ago and then tries to get every church in the area, I think including Roman Catholic churches and liberal churches.
And Mormon churches.
And Mormon churches. Seriously?
No, I'm just making that up.
And then, you know, we need to have you do all the legwork and put all the money together so we can fly in with sixpence none the richer. That's what they at least did with the one in California, in Santa Cruz. And they sang Kiss Me, by the way. And Palau got up and said, Jesus wants to kiss you.
He didn't.
Figuratively.
He didn't.
Yes. By forgiving you and all that stuff. But anyway.
Is that our hymnal now, Kiss Me?
Kiss Me, Kate? What was that? Oh, that was an old movie maybe.
Yes, it was.
But here you have Jonah, one guy one message, and this city, by the sovereign grace of God, repents. He could have written home quite the letter of God's effective use through him and how much money he needed. That's the new paradigm, the Jonah paradigm.
But instead, he just, could you write a book called The Jonah Paradigm?
Donate. Steve, years ago, we got an email from someone writing to No Compromise Radio, and they said, we're trying to figure out how to give money to the ministry, but we can't figure it out.
I told my wife not to send another email, by the way.
Oh, good. So, obviously, if you want to give to a ministry and you're really giving it to the Lord through a ministry, it should be after you give to your local church. The ministries should be above and beyond. And of course,
you're just saying that because you want my money.
Well, I particularly do want your money, Steve. Of course I do. But I don't want the people who are listening to send money because I've got donate buttons everywhere. Can we put a donate button on Facebook and maybe the Twitter and maybe NOCO 90 and stuff like that? Donate.
Our ministry is heavily underwater. Help us get back to even.
It's that time of the year again. Times are tight. You want the gospel to go forward.
Well, you know, if you weren't demanding such a high salary for your No Compromise, ministry, then there wouldn't be an issue. Of course, I get nearly as much as you, and I don't have to work nearly as much. So it's a pretty sweet gig we have here at No Compromise Radio.
Steve, why don't we just stop spending money on WVNE and playing the shows there, and all the money that we spend there at the radio station, we'll just pocket.
Ooh, all that money. Millions and millions of rubles.
Former Today guitarist Mike Reynolds leaves band after a firestorm over anti-gay comments. Steve,
wait a minute. He was on the Today Show?
No. Former Today guitarist stirred up quite a bit of controversy responding on Twitter about the decision of President Obama.
It says for today.
Yes. Well, today, yes.
Yeah, you keep saying former today. You don't realize it.
No, I don't realize what I'm saying.
Today. So that's the name of the group.
That's the name of the group. But if we had a bigger budget through donate button giving, I would speak well. I would speak better. But right now, I gave up grammar for Lent, and it's a veritable fuselage.
Oh, man, that's fusillanimous. That's okay.
Okay, so you're in a Christian band, and then you say homosexuality is a forgivable sin, but in fact it's sin. He said these tweets, do not be deceived. Homosexuality is a sin. The sin with all of their sins is what Jesus died for. He conquered so that we would be free. No such thing as a gay Christian. The same as there is no such thing as a Christian who loves his sin. Do not be fooled by the formation of a state church as though the government is being converted. They only use the name Jesus for their progressive liberal agenda. If you are a Christian, then separate yourself from this civil religion that advocates sin. Be true to God. And out he goes.
I don't even know how that could be controversial. You know, I mean, it's just like, I'm going to stray a little bit, but it's very much like, I was just reading the other day, and I think you get this email too, about the Massachusetts schools now. There's a proposal that they allow each student from kindergarten, listen to that, kindergarten to 12th grade, decide what sex they are. So if a young child decides that they're, you know, a third grader decides that she is a guy, then she goes to the boys' bathroom. And you know, I'm just like, it's just this kind of, the world looks at the Bible and thinks it's foolish and it's stupid and it's dumb, when Christianity, in this case, have to presume they're Christians or presumed Christians, when they say, you know what, that's hate speech, that's bad, you can't do this, then there's something wrong. No Christian performer should be assaulted, as it were, by the Christian community because they say homosexuality is a sin. That's just crazy.
Steve, the comments sparked some outrage online, including a commentary from Enter Shikari vocalist Rue Reynolds, R-O-U.
Enter Shikari.
No relation. I didn't know if it was Lou Reed or what. The thought that we actually toured and shared the same stage as this musician in 2001 now makes me feel a bit
2011.
Nauseous. Sorry. Why can't I read today?
I'm not really certain. It has something to do with Lent, though.
There is obviously no place in our modern metal, punk, hardcore, rock scene for homophobia.
Can we just define what homophobia is? That would be the irrational fear of homosexuals.
Steve, D.A. Carson's new book called The Intolerance of Tolerance pretty much
hits the head on the nail.
I almost said it.
I'm just helping you out. I'm here to help.
I didn't want to tip my hat to you or tip my hand either. Steve, I say to myself.
Self?
These people, that is, these kind of poser Christians in the media, they love tolerance. But as Carson says, they will not tolerate any truth that is antithetical from the Bible. We will not tolerate a person who thinks that homosexuality is a sin. We will not tolerate it.
Even though that's what the Bible says, and God gave us the Bible, and God designed us. Yeah, I mean, it is such, it's a bizarre, it's kind of, it is like those old mirrors that you would look in, and they sort of distort things and whatever, make you look funny. And you just look at, how can they look at the Word and the Bible and see what it says and go, well, that's not really what it means. It really means something different. And so we're just going to distort it. It's just weird.
Well, the ex-band member from For Today said, to sum this up, I'm not isolating homosexuality. This is his retort, but stating that all sin must be left behind to follow Jesus as Jesus himself prescribed. Greed, selfishness, pride, envy, dishonesty, and all others you can think of must be surrendered for God's way of honest relationship with him. Now, I wouldn't say things exactly like that, but he's trying to correct himself now, but he hasn't backed down, for which I am glad.
What does it say down there at the end? He's starting a new band called Homophobia. Very nice.
This is coming to a theater near you, and it's coming to a church near you, and pastors aren't going to be able to say, this behavior is deviant. This behavior is dishonorable, to use Romans chapter 1 language.
What does the message say about homosexuality?
It says you better take care of the green earth, buddy.
Okay.
All right. What else do we have? How about this, Steve? I'm going to read you a little comment, and then you give me your Stephen Sage wisdom. What's a word for wisdom that's would make them all S's? The sage?
Smarts.
Okay, that's good. Mark Driscoll wrote on the Mars Hills website. He talked about cessationism. It is modernistic worldliness. And then he said, functional cessationism is really about the mind, but functional charismatic theology is really about the heart.
Deep.
You reformed guys, Driscoll said, especially you who are more Presbyterian, you tend to ignore the Holy Spirit and attribute everything the Spirit does to the gospel. Steve's actually closing his eyes right now.
I'm just kind of rocking back and forth in the Spirit.
Steve, I think John Owen, who wrote some 900 pages on the Holy Spirit, I know he wasn't a Presbyterian. I think he was a Congregationalist, yes?
Yes.
I think he was probably quenching the Spirit in that book, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely, because if you're not rolling on the floor, howling like a lion, and laughing like there's no tomorrow, then you're not filled with the Spirit.
John Owen once attempted to raise his hand in worship during the psalm singing, but he almost knocked his wig off and he had to stop.
Is that true? Okay.
Wayne Grudem said, Systematic Theology, page 1058. By the way, if you read Wayne Grudem, you ought to know that that's an excellent systematic theology overall, but it has a couple big pieces of bone in it, and one of the pieces of bone is on page 1058.
Yeah, a big piece of bone will stick in your craw.
But I've eaten so much fish lately because of Lent. I'm very familiar with bone picking.
Okay.
I got a bone to pick with you, Steve. Why did people say that? Because they used bones as toothpicks, I think, in the old days.
Is that true?
Yes, Steve. I also learned
only you would know that.
The African wildebeest. You know the African wildebeest?
Yeah.
I know why it got its name now.
Because it's a wild beast?
You're exactly right. What would happen is if a wildebeest is young, adolescent, a younger male or female, there's a certain parasite that would crawl up their nose and latch on and start sucking the blood out and everything, and it would restrict airflow. But any healthy wildebeest could snort it out. It could snuff it out by just blowing out of its nostrils, and the bug would fly out. But true story, when the animal got older, kind of a geriatric wildebeest, then it would be lodged up in the nostril, and it would run around in a crazy fashion trying to dislodge said parasite. And the onlookers saw that, the English-speaking onlookers, and said, look at those wild beasts. Hence the term wildebeest.
In evolution grand, though, that parasite would develop over the many centuries and figure out exactly where to go.
Yeah, it's not my cup of tea.
Wayne
Grudem, Systematic Theology, 1058. So the distinction is quite clear. If a message is the result of conscious reflection on the text of Scripture, containing an interpretation of the text and application to life, then it is, in New Testament terms, a teaching. But if a message is the report of something God brings suddenly to mind, then it is prophecy.
That is positively frightening. It's just frightening. Because now you have to figure out when a thought comes to your head, gee, is that from God? Is it from me? Is it from Satan? Is it, you know, something I heard once, you know, somebody on TBN say, how do I know what I want to be on the sure footing of Scripture rather than left to my own devices to sort of figure it out on the fly whether it's of God or not. And you know what? It makes sense only in this sense, because then if you make a mistake, you just go, well, you know, it's New Testament prophecy, right? He has that
fallible prophecy.
Yeah, fallible prophets can be, you know, they can be wrong. They don't have to be stoned anymore. You can just spout off whatever comes to mind.
Steve, I have intuition, I have impressions, but I never call it leading from God. Why would I want to do that?
I call it acid reflux.
Well, I take my Pepcid every day, but except on Sundays, then I have a day of rest.
Oh.
I don't want to be enslaved to Pepcid.
Right. Yeah. Day of rest.
Forget what my GI doctor said. Steve, people can misread the impressions, intuitions, and even circumstances in a deadly way. I like what S. Lewis Johnson calls satanic providence. Jonah goes down. He wants to not to go to Nineveh. He goes to, where does he go instead? Wants to
Tarshish.
Go to Tarshish. And so he goes down to the area there where you have boats. What do you call that? The lagoon?
A port.
The port, yeah. And he says to himself, wow, I want to go to Tarshish. Where are you going? Tarshish. And he's like, yeah, that's a sign. How much money is it? Well, it's 50,000 shekels or whatever. I've got exactly that much in my pocket. You know, and he just makes this all combobulate in his mind properly. So he thinks God is making him go this direction.
Well, you know, putting aside the absolute cruelty and inhumanity of the Ninevites, wouldn't you rather go to the south coast of Spain than to Nineveh? Come on, let's just be honest. I mean, which is better? You know, where do you want to spend? Jonah's like, well, let's see, vacation in the hideous and horrible city of Nineveh, or I can go to Spain. Woohoo!
Spain. Steve, my concern for the charismatic reform people who are out there, the Sovereign Grace types, the John Piper types, the Wayne Grudem types, the Mark Driscoll types, I'm concerned about the next generation. So some of these guys, not Driscoll, but some of these guys try to keep this charismatic component more tightly contained, but the next generation is just going to run like the wind.
Well, and you can't do that. I mean, it's just like when we look at churches, whether it's Saddleback or Willow Creek, you know, we think they're sad and they're lacking, you know, but I think there are Christians there. But what's going to happen generation after generation? If you start on a very weak foundation, and in this case, it's a very slippery foundation, right? Because God can just tell you something, or you can think God told you something, and it's perfectly fine to say, God just told me.
How can Mark Driscoll write a book on systematic theology and not understand the difference or lack of difference between the Greek and Hebrew words for heart and mind? Maybe the Spirit of God didn't tell him those nuances.
Or maybe he just doesn't care. I mean, there is that possibility, right?
If the truth gets in your way,
then you just obliterate the truth. That's right.
All right, Steve. What should be put on the tombstone of a pastor? I saw an article written
by... Cheese and pepperoni.
By Brian Croft. And he said he went to the wonderful and very popular and very famous nonconformist dissenter cemetery, Bunhill Fields in London, outside London. And he saw all the different people that are buried there, Bunyan, Owen, Isaac Watts. But he said his favorite tombstone was the tombstone that read this on Joseph Hart's stone. Okay. Joseph Hart was by the free and sovereign grace and Spirit of God raised from the depths of sin and delivered from the bonds of mere profession and self-righteousness and led to rest entirely for salvation in the finished atonement and perfect obedience of Christ.
That'll preach.
That'll preach. That might cost you a lot of money to get engraved on a stone these days.
Yeah, how much is it, a letter?
Probably like a few indulgences.
You think?
Yeah. So,
because see, I'm just thinking, I would need like some big, you know, I mean, like eye-catching deal.
Well, when I go to cemeteries now, resting places, I see a lot of Boston Bruins and Boston Red Sox logos.
No,
I do. It's true.
I mean, what's that going to mean in 500 years or something? You know.
Well, maybe that's how long it's going to take for them to win again with the new management. Steve, tell me about your tombstone. Would you like to be buried around here in New England? What do you want on the tombstone? I don't want to bury you prematurely, but it would be good for me to know.
Well, I'm going to be buried, well, I imagine probably somewhere around here, you know, unless things radically change. I don't really care where I'm buried. But what do I want on my tombstone? You know, I mean, I like that. I mean, I think you could just say he was a wretched sinner saved by an awesome sovereign God.
Okay, I like that. Yes, but Steve, what about these folks now in some of our circles especially that don't really go for the perfect obedience of Christ? We could have saved money. Joseph Hart could have saved money if he just would have said, rest entirely for salvation in the finished atonement of Christ. Why do you have to throw in that perfect obedience bit?
Because somebody had to obey the law. God laid out the law. Well, then what are we saying? If we're saying that Jesus... obedience doesn't matter, then nobody ever had to obey the law. Why did he have to live his whole life?
Well, I like it what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, do this and live. Somebody's got to do this and live, because what? If you don't do it, you're not going
to
live.
Why did he get baptized? To fulfill all righteousness. Well, what difference does that make?
Steve, you can put these two verses on my tombstone if you've got enough room for it. I read them the other day. And I just thought, could there be two better verses in all the Bible? Rhetorical question. Romans 8, 3 and 4. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemns sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
I think that's good. You know, all I'm trying to think about is how we do this. We'll have to do it'll be a no-compromise gravesite. And what we can do is we can put up like an LCD screen, which will only be activated when somebody gets within a certain number of feet. Otherwise, we couldn't afford the electric bill. You know, I'm just telling you the way it is.
Well, Steve, let's just circle back around here now.
Okay. Circle the wagons.
If we had a donate button, we could have such...
Dude.
A cemetery.
Yeah, you know what?
Donate.
And you know, I don't want to play on the, you know, the hearts and minds. I don't want to pray on the hearts and minds and or, you know, play like a violin or whatever. But if you want Mike to have a decent burial, then you need to donate.
Yes. If you donate over $1,000, I'll mention your name on the radio.
And for $10,000 or more, you can be on his headstone.
Yes, and for $20,000, we will give you the special taping, the extra 30 minutes of the show that no one gets to hear except Steve and I. And we'll send that to you as well.
For $50,000, you can be buried next to Mike.
Yes, and for $1 million, we'll just quit No Compromise Radio now.
Such a deal.
Well, my name is Mike Abendroth. This is No Compromise Radio. We're here with Steve Cooley as well. Steve has some Tuesday shows on Saturday.
Tuesday show on Saturday. The Tuesday guy on Saturday.
Yeah, you can email him at TuesdayGuy@NoCompromiseRadio. So does anybody email you?
It's become a habit for literally six people.
Well, that's good. That's more than you deserve, isn't it?
It is.
Okay. NoCompromiseRadio.com.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.